He is one of America's prominent sports commentators and columnists,
known for his fearless opinions and passionate dialogue.
I know it's sad, but the best sports conversation has absolutely nothing to do with sports.
He has perfected the Daily Sports Podcast, having produced hundreds of topical, credible shows without even a hint of fake news.
No filters, no mute buttons, no BS, just me and whatever the hell I feel like talking about.
He has done 1,700 TV shows, written 8,000 columns, broadcast hundreds of talk shows, published a book.
He has covered every major sports event nationally and worldwide.
And yet, we still can't shut him up.
The ceiling is the roof.
And now from Los Angeles, inside his studio by the Pacific Ocean,
where he plans on hanging out with a beer immediately after this podcast is recorded.
Oh, man.
Here he is, Jay Mariotti.
The show is unmuted. I'm Jay in Los Angeles, and Bob Kraft has, let's see, wealth, power, 6 Super Bowl trophies, Brady, Belichick, a friend in the White House, cronies throughout Hollywood, hip-hop cred, and the biggest sneaker collection of any 77-year-old on the planet. But Kraft still has to pay for sex. Patriot haters everywhere are rejoicing today after Kraft, the team owner, was charged with misdemeanor solicitation of prostitution amid a sex trafficking sting in Palm Beach County, Florida. Who else has a house in Palm Beach County? Just asking. And the police have the goods. Kraft twice videotaped paying for and receiving sex at an illicit massage parlor. And what do you think those sex tapes would go for on the open market? But here's the juicy part. Kraft facing a suspension for violating the NFL's personal conduct policy. And who would be doling out that suspension? His nemesis, Roger Goodell. So, Bill Belichick accused of spying, Tom Brady accused of inflating footballs, and Bob Kraft is on at least 2 sex tapes pushing 80 years old. Aren't you proud of your champions, America?
All you need to know about sports today in 15 minutes, or maybe 18, you know, depending on the Warriors, the Steelers, Trump, and the LeBron James Media Network.
As the basketball world shrieked in fear, Zion Williamson slipped on the hardwood at Cameron Indoor Stadium, did the splits, completely blew out his left Nike shoe with the force of his massive body, and then grabbed the back of his right knee. And immediately, an ongoing debate raged. Why do phenoms who could be in the NBA right now making tens of millions have to spend 1 year in college or simply wait out the year, according to the NBA's collective bargaining agreement? And why, in his right mind, would Zion even continue at Duke this season with no financial security when he could exacerbate what currently is described by Coach Mike Krzyzewski as a mild sprain? Coach K has had an eventful season with former player Corey Maggette accused of rape last week, and he says there is no rush for Williamson to return if he does return at all this season.
If it was, you know, severe, then you're talking a whole different thing, and then you're a lot more worried about the young man. And so we'll handle this in a way that's the best for him, and obviously, and everyone would do that, and we're going to do what everyone would do, and that's what's in the best interest of the young man. And Zion will get proper care. He's getting it today. And as this moves along, these next 24, 48 hours, we'll have a better feel for things. But there's no rush. You want to make sure he's completely at 100%. We know we're an NCAA team. We've won 23 games and with great competition, and we're going to keep moving on. But we want to make sure we're, you know, we're at 100% when we enter that one and done period called March Madness.
Yeah, so it's going to be here shortly too. We're already at February 21.
If it's me, I'm shutting down my season, letting that knee heal, and waiting for Adam Silver to shake my hand as the number one draft pick. By all means, Zion should protect his golden future and shut it down. The potential ramifications for Zion, only one name necessary, extend in all directions. Can you imagine Williamson suing Nike for manufacturing a defective sneaker? In this case, the Nike PG 2.5 Paul George's most recent signature shoe as part of Duke's 12-year contract with Nike. And how would you like to be Nike today, watching your stock price plummet after the world saw that exploding shoe? And what did Paul George do to deserve any of this? The same Paul George who overcame a broken leg 5 years ago. Now nobody's going to want to buy or wear his sneaker, even though he's an MVP candidate this season in Oklahoma City. Here was George. I do feel sorry for him. It's not his fault. And he did call Nike immediately. Maybe he should sue Nike.
First is, I want to wish him all the best. I don't know the severity of the injury right now. But just wish him all the best through the recovery if it is something severe or severe. And honestly, I'm just there for him through that time of being hurt and being injured. You know, big stage, big game, him not being able to play that. But outside of that, you know, I don't necessarily know what happened, how it happened. Talked with Nike to see what went wrong, what happened with the shoe. I take pride in that. My shoe has been a successful shoe, not only in college, but in the NBA. A lot of people have been in them, a lot of people have been wearing them. So I don't necessarily know. It's never happened to my knowledge before. So that's tough.
All along, Williamson said he wanted to experience a national championship run at an elite university and would have come to Duke regardless, which is laudable. Still, we're talking hundreds of millions of dollars at stake for this young man and his family, and the gasps were heard not only in Durham, where superfan Barack Obama offered Zion words of encouragement, but inside the NBA offices, in the compounds of shoe companies and agents everywhere, and in the front offices of the Knicks, Pelicans, Suns, Bulls, and Cavaliers, among other teams. The future force of the NBA has some serious decisions to make, not wanting to aggravate the knee and take long-term risks just to help Duke win a national title, which might not happen anyway now after these Zion-less Blue Devils were pushed around in the paint in a stunning loss to North Carolina. Suddenly, the national title picture is a free-for-all, but closer to the point, what if Zion had blown out that knee? Moral to the story here, let's be done with the one-and-dones. We don't need Hall of Fame careers jeopardized on college basketball courts. And if Williamson chooses not to return this season, we all should understand completely. Know how much money ESPN made off of that Duke-Carolina game? The ratings were huge. How much money did Zion get for that? Nothing. You couldn't get into Cameron for less than $3,000. Did Zion get any of that money? Those ratings, those ticket prices, largely because of Williamson, he didn't get a penny. So it could be this injury leads to massive reform in college basketball, if not in college sports. I think those shoe companies are going to be doing double and triple checks on their shoes before issuing them for huge games or any game, really. Did you hear the Warriors' Boogie Cousins? He's back to being outspoken Boogie. He went potty mouth in his commentary on college basketball and Zion.
Knowing what I know now, college is bull. College basketball is NCAA is bull. So my advice to him is do what's best for you and your family. And obviously, college is. You can't really. It does nothing for you at this point. You're proving your, the number one pick coming out. You're proving your talent. Get ready for the next level because it's happening. That's my opinion, knowing what I know now. Obviously, when I was at that age, you enjoy the moment, you enjoy the experience and all that. But, there's so many risks involved to get to the ultimate goal, which is, this level. So, just do what's best for him and his family.
Is that opinion from things you've seen since you entered the league, or
not even my experience in college, because I love my experience in college. That was some of the best years of my life playing basketball. And, but with that being said, just how crooked the whole NCAA business is. And I actually saw a post the other day where it was, I think the highest ticket
for that UNC Duke game was $2,500,
$3,500.
How much is that? How much does Zion win to see? That's what they're coming to see. So how much does he get? Actually, who does it go to? How does it benefit any player on that team? But if they were to get $20 in a free meal, they're this bad kid, they get a bad rep, uncoachable, thugs, whatever the case may be.
Next up for Duke, a visit to Syracuse, where college basketball also made headlines for unfortunate reasons. Jim Boeheim, the iconic 71-year-old Syracuse coach, was driving a car that struck and killed a pedestrian who was tending to a car in the middle of an interstate highway after that car had struck a guardrail in bad weather. This is important. Field sobriety and alcohol sensor tests on Boeheim and the driver of the other vehicle, in which the 51-year-old victim was a passenger, were negative, according to police, who also said Boeheim was traveling at the proper speed. Boeheim, who is cooperating with the investigation, was returning home from dinner with his wife and friends. What I'd like to know as a journalist is whether Boeheim had any alcohol at dinner. I think it's a fair question in any investigation. Police and prosecutors in Syracuse say it was an accident in the purest sense. But I need to tell you, this Boeheim has been protected before by that university and that city. He's the king of Syracuse. All I'm saying is there should be an investigation beyond the police probe. So, see how easy that was? Realizing that San Diego lost the Chargers to Los Angeles and no longer has a national identity beyond Ron Burgundy, the Padres simply reached down into that revenue-shared pile of baseball mega-profits from tech and television, found $30 million to spend each of the next 10 years, and signed Manny Machado. Easy. So easy, in fact, that at Machado's introductory news conference, Padres management did not rule out, are you ready for this, the idea of also signing Bryce Harper. How's that for caring about your fans, trying to win, flipping the bird at the colluding owners in the Blue Bloods? Soon enough, Harper will become the highest paid athlete in the history of North American sports, presumably in Philadelphia, not San Diego. I can't wrap my arms around that. I'm having a hard enough time with Machado in San Diego. Machado and Harper? What? I know sports is wacko, but no. I think it's going to be Philadelphia. And knowing the Eagles have won a Super Bowl and the Sixers are making a serious NBA Finals bid, the Phillies simply reaching into that same overstuffed revenues pie and signing Harper. I think that will happen. What we saw here, thankfully, were two franchises willing to buck the collusive efforts of Major League Baseball owners who are hoping to break the system, if not the Players Association itself. And what we also saw were two shrewd poker players and their agents waiting out the jokers in that room until they got what they had wanted all along, record contracts. But the fact this process took almost 4 months and involved only a handful of teams amid the shameful non-participation of the sports blue bloods was a terrible look for baseball as dark clouds continue to form for that eventual labor impasse that this sport cannot afford. Consider the record signing of Machado and then eventually Harper a huge loss for the colluding owners. They wanted to hoard their money until the rogue owners, although I call them heroes, Ron Fowler and Peter Seidler in San Diego, and presumably John Middleton in Philly, felt more compelled to win than to stay in cahoots with the owners prioritizing money hoarding and analytics over winning championships the way, say, the Red Sox did with the sport's highest payroll last autumn. Funny how Red Sox owner John Henry said this when asked about championships. He said, quote, "Spending more money helps," unquote. Yeah, really? That's why Henry has the trophies. That's why the Dodgers have the agony. They don't spend enough. And that's why the summer will be fun in San Diego, where the Padres have suffered 8 straight losing seasons, but now have fans spilling tears of joy with a sports station playing Queen's "We Are the Champions." Are they still playing it? I think they did like 10 times in a row. If they sign Harper, that'll be they should just make a radio station. We are the champions. They need pitching. But still, I would go down there and shake the hands of those two owners. And by the way, Mariotti aside, do you realize some of the owners, including Seidler, have O'Malley blood? They are descendants of the Walter O'Malley family, longtime owners of the Dodgers, before all these charlatans. Fox bought the Dodgers. Now it's Guggenheim. Frank McCourt. Yeah, the O'Malleys are in San Diego. A Mariotti aside. Here was Machado at that press conference.
You know, it was a hectic, you know, off season as well. But you know, the last couple of weeks, you know, San Diego came in, you know, wanted to meet Matt. You know, like what AJ had to say. You know, I like the game plan. What they brought to the table. You know, from ownership to front office to coaching staff. You know, to the players. You know, the whole shebang was just so perfect. You know, and you know, made it a little easier to make the decision that, you know, they're confident in bringing me on board, helping me be a part of this team, help the younger guys. You know, one of best farm systems in the game, the best. And you know, just to come here as you know, 26-year-old veteran to you know, just try to give my knowledge to these guys and, you know, hopefully get back to the playoffs, the city of San Diego, and, you know, bring a championship.
And there would be hope in Philadelphia, where the Phillies have taken a step back to the Eagles and 76ers throughout this decade. But now, if they get Harper, they're going to challenge for a pennant. They've got JT Realmuto, other reinforcements. That's a serious team now. Look, baseball can still work in the American sports appetite when owners do reload their profits into the product instead of keeping the money for themselves and sharing the same algorithms for the same players, which isn't competition as much as a sharing agreement. Aren't these people competing? It's one thing to see why Albert Pujols, like other bonanza players in their 30s, was not a good idea for the Angels at $240 million. But monster talents at 26 with 8 to 10 years of prime baseball left, you've got to sign them. Alas, most of the owners really are greedy bastards. The point is to win, not to make the best financial return based on your calculus. So consider this an exhaustive but major triumph for the agents here, Scott Boras and Dan Lozano, who won significant battles for the Players Association moving forward. A new contract bar now has been set for a Nolan Arenado jackpot later this year, and then Mike Trout and Mookie Betts jackpots after next season, the likes of which the owners have tried to quash in a unified front the past two offseasons. They cannot possibly screw around with Mike Trout and Mookie Betts, can they? Now we await the signings of numerous other worthy free agents, such as Adam Jones, with the Twins signing former Astro Marwin Gonzalez to a two-year, $21 million deal through 2021. That is when the CBA expires, by the way. Make no mistake, baseball is headed to an ugly standoff in 2021, if not before, as strongly suggested by many players in recent days, including Cardinals pitcher Adam Wainwright, who wonders if the players will walk out in mid-season. Not that soon, but maybe mid-season 2020. A troubled Major League Baseball cannot survive a protracted work stoppage, not when the sport is waning in popularity, ratings, and relevance in America. At least we're going to get to, at some point, watch Harper, the flare in the hair, in a demanding city, Philadelphia, that will alternately love him and hate him, I'm sure. This is what baseball needed. Some theater, some conversation, and the owners had better stop screwing around with these collusion games or they're going to kill their golden goose and their sport. Yes, free agency is still broken, even as Commissioner Rob Manfred insisted otherwise.
Would there be some value to having some sort of free agent signing deadline? Is that practical? And would it help?
Yeah, you know, I've thought about, you know, I've read this suggestion. I do try to pay attention to what people are talking about. The difficulty with artificial deadlines is what do you do when you go past the deadline? So in other words, we make a deal with the Players Association that every free agent has to be signed by January 10th, so it's all over early. Problem is, what do you do if, in fact, somebody isn't signed? I said Sunday, I thought that, you know, the group of really good players that are out there still, I guess we're down to nine, assuming that Machado's in fact signed, that they're going to sign. And, you know, we still have a little time. And in some ways, I feel like it's a little much ado about nothing. If, in fact, those players all sign, at the end of the day, the season's going to go on. We're going to have the right players out there playing on the field, and it's kind of no harm, no foul.
Yeah, where have you been all winter, Rob? As for Manfred's weak, vague, and belated attempt to institute a 20-second pitch clock and quicken the pace of a slow, boring sport, already the players are balking, with Clayton Kershaw saying he will completely ignore the clock. That's pretty selfish, Clayton. Look, I understand why the players are pissed at the owners and the commissioner, but Kershaw, as one of the leading pitchers of his era, must take some accountability in improving the game experience for the fans. If not, the sport will fade away. I don't know how many times I can repeat that. At least Manfred got around to cracking down on high-tech sign stealing. Cameras will be banned from foul pole to foul pole, and in-house video is being restricted with penalties including the loss of draft picks and international spending money. Foul pole to foul pole. That's really not going to stop the cheating, Rob. Don't you realize teams have drones in the sky? Rob, it's 2019. Rob, it's a high-tech age. Rob, oh, this commissioner, he's worse than C-League. I didn't think that was possible. Bud Light C-League has been one-upped for ineptness by this guy. The shame of losing out on Harper and Machado or not even bidding is palpable. Start with the cheap-ass Blue Bloods. The Yankees, who haven't won a World Series in 10 years, could have moved ahead of the Red Sox by signing Harper or Machado. Remember, the Red Sox have won two since 2013, but the Yankees declined to spend from their pinstriped pot of gold. I can imagine some guy on Wall Street, you know, hepped up on cocaine, doing his 15th big deal of the day, saying, my God, the San Diego Padres outbid the Yankees for Manny Machado. This is laughable. The Dodgers continue to black out games to 70% of Southern California homes after pocketing that exclusive $8 billion TV deal, among other in-house scandals and cover-ups. Yet they wanted no part of a Hollywood star like Bryce Harper. Nope. The Cubs are crying poor, not what fans want to hear, when Joe Ricketts, patriarch of the family that owns the team, writes a series of racist and anti-Muslim emails. The Giants at least made some sort of effort to get Harper, but it didn't help that Oracle Park, as they now call the place, is the most difficult park to launch home runs for a left-handed power hitter, whereas the Philly ballpark is magical for Bryce Harper. Think 50 home runs for Bryce in Philly if he signs there. He will. Boris is holding out. Why wouldn't you? What's he have to lose? A couple of spring training games? Then you had the irrelevant for life White Sox, who had a perfect opportunity to finally gain cred and media coverage in Chicago with the Cubs' various crises, predictably falling short when they were outbid, and embarrassingly so, by the small market Padres for Machado. I told you all along that Jerry Reinsdorf is a fraud. He had no interest in signing Machado or Harper, just pretending that he did to tease those foolish sheep fans, only to gladly finish second for Machado. And that is assuming Reinsdorf even bid high at all, or bid at all. Despite reports that the Sox bid $250 million along with some incentive packages. I don't believe that. I've never believed a word this guy has ever said about anything. As you can tell, I think Reinsdorf purposely finished second so those idiot Chicago media people could say, hey, at least he tried. And his henchmen, Ken Williams and Rick Hahn, should be Oscar candidates for their supporting actor roles after the Machado signing.
Very surprised. There are a few other words that you could you could put on that, but still a little bit of disbelief. I'm wearing my shades so that you guys don't see the shock in my eyes.
Trying and falling short is insufficient, so I'm going to take the next few hours and to continue to be pretty pissed off about this. You can certainly look at our offer and say in some elements it's superior. So I don't know what the trigger was. I do not want to say this only comes down to money. I know that we were aggressive, and I know our offer was extremely competitive, and I know I'm standing here right now disappointed that it didn't get it done.
Look, it's simple. Along with the money, Machado didn't want to freeze his ass off. In Chicago, he didn't want to play on the wrong side of town, even if the White Sox did sign his brother-in-law, Yonder Alonso, and his good friend, John Jay, and then they actually placed an empty locker for Machado between them. That is humiliating. Jerry Reinsdorf, sell your team. I don't know how many times I wrote that after he built his bad ballpark. I'm not getting started on him today. He is not worth my time on this podcast. He had his little couple of months there, and it turned out to be fraudulent, okay? As I've said for years, until Reinsdorf sells that team, the White Sox will be the smallest market, big market team in sports. Since their title in 2006, I'm still not sure that actually happened. Was that staged or something? Their TV ratings have slumped to cricket levels, and they have a payroll this season of $80 million. Big city, little payroll. While pleading, get this, for more patience from the fans in trying to sell yet another rebuild on the South Side. In the last 100 years, the Chicago White Sox have won one World Series and thrown one World Series. And that's it. You can put them on the board! No! The NBA playoffs start in only 7 weeks. Yep, Masters weekend, oddly enough. And despite the league's commercial success, TV ratings are way down on the regional sports networks, especially in big markets such as New York, Chicago, and even Boston. National games are down too, especially on TNT with LeBron James' move to the West Coast, part of the downturn. So it is vital. I can't say this boldly enough. That the NBA stop the drama, stop the gossip, stop the Twitter NBA garbage, and start producing some great basketball. Yes, basketball. That means you, LeBron. His legacy could end with a thud in LA, as I have said from the moment he signed last summer, but you know LeBron. He thrives on drama and one-upping those who have spurned him, so of course, he will have Anthony Davis as a guest on his HBO show, The Shop, debuting March the 1st. Antonio Brown on that show, too. Basically, LeBron wants all the troublemakers out there on his show so he can get ratings. Yep, that's drama for you. He gets the Hollywood formula. I'll give him that. But Adam Silver, isn't that tampering? Oh, wait a minute. Adam lets LeBron get away with anything he wants. I forgot. LeBron at least can create some hope here in LA by building immediate momentum and lifting the Lakers to the playoffs. He still has his moments, such as that rally over Houston Thursday night. He did look great. But then a big home win usually is followed by a flop on the road. His groin strain means he's vulnerable for the first time at 34 to a significant injury. He has gained weight because he hasn't been able to maintain his workout regimen. He has played those usual politics, but he failed in not swinging that Davis trade, and he also failed in not getting Coach Luke Walton fired. He has not made his teammates consistently better, and the kids don't trust that franchise when Magic Johnson tried to trade most of them away. Imagine if LeBron doesn't make the playoffs. I think he will. Keep in mind the Clippers lose a number one pick if they make the playoffs. So they're going to very politely tank and make sure they finish ninth. And Doc will say, we gave it our best shot, but we had injuries. Watch that injury list for the Clippers. A Mariotti aside, Sacramento, fun team. You saw in that close loss to the Warriors praising them. It could be a battle between LeBron and Sacramento for the eighth spot. I know who I'm rooting for, and it is not LeBron James. I'm sick of LeBron James. You know that. Every podcast, you can hear how sick I am. Ooze through my mouth every damn podcast. Go Sacramento. I never thought I would ever say that. But hey, LeBron's production company is making Space Jam 2, originally made by Michael Jeffrey Jordan, so LeBron is copycatting. That's why LeBron is in L.A., you know, to make movies and documentaries. A day doesn't pass without Kyrie Irving acting like a prima donna, whether it's big-footing his Celtics teammates, who were better without him last season, or complaining every day about media drama when he's the one creating the drama. It's important that Irving focuses on the court and saves Boston's season in the difficult Eastern Conference, at least the top part of it. But there he was with a chance to hit the game winner in Milwaukee, missing at the buzzer and falling on his ass. Yep, Kyrie will not be staying in Boston. The fans will run him out of town, I think, once they raise money for Bob Kraft's hand job fund. I couldn't resist. And Joel Embiid can be a delightful character in the ongoing NBA theater, but he also can be a dope about protecting himself from injuries. And the latest situation could impact whether the Sixers are true finals contenders. Embiid, one of the league's premier big men, will miss at least a week with tendonitis in his left knee. This is the same knee that cost him the last 27 games 2 years ago, along with Rookie of the Year. And here's the killer. He played on that injured knee last weekend in the All-Star game. And now he can't run on that knee. This shows how immature and delicate the Sixers are. Can Coach Brett Brown create a cohesive, serious powerhouse in Philly? Can Coach Brett Brown create a cohesive, mature powerhouse in Philly? It's not easy when Embiid and Jimmy Butler are ready to spoil the brew at any given moment. Barack Obama did not respond to my generous offer to co-host this podcast, so I guess he's suitably busy. There he was, front and center at Duke, North Carolina, with ESPN intentionally giving him much airtime just behind Coach K during Duke's jolting loss to Carolina. There he was, joining his BFF, Steph Curry, at a charity event in Oakland. And there he was, accepting an offer to help organize the NBA's new league in Africa. And there he was with Bob... No, I'm not going to do any more Bob Kraft jokes. And there he was talking about twerking. No, this is serious. Twerking.
If you are very confident about your sexuality, you don't have to have eight women around you twerking.
That's all well and good, this Obama-rama. You can trademark that. But when he was honing his political skills in Chicago, Obama was a reader of my column in that city, I'm told by people. I'm also told he's an avid White Sox fan and that he wasn't a fan of mine. Well, join the crowd, Barack. And I'll tell you what. Engage me, Barack. Debate me. Come on this podcast. Challenge me right here. Nah, I'm guessing he'd rather take softballs from Bill Simmons. Now it's time for The Buzz, our deep dive into sports and life. Chris joins the program. Chris, as a Duke fan, what happened to your heart rate when Zion injured his knee? One, should he shut it down the rest of the season and protect his future? And two, do you agree with me that the one-and-done rule only hurts the NBA in the end when a superstar in waiting is vulnerable to a college injury?
Jay, it was a tragic night for any Duke fan. Even more tragic if you're a Zion Williamson fan, which I am. And really bizarre, I don't know if that's ever happened before, where a shoe blows out. I've never seen it before. And you almost, look, Zion, you didn't want to see him get injured, but how much money did he make that night? Because again, now Nike has to sign him to a huge deal, right? And you know the Under Armors, the Pumas, the competitors of the world are going to jack the price up just so Nike then has to sign probably the richest shoe deal in history, simply because you can't like blow out Nikes and then go and sign, let's say, with Under Armour and basically say, I can never wear Nikes again because it's not a good shoe. They can't do that. They can't really do that to Paul George either. As for the one and done, listen, it allows for the best All-Americans to play college basketball. And as somebody who loves college basketball, at least for 1 month out of the year, what would it be like if now those top recruits all went to the pros? And also, let's be honest, and we've said this before, 18-year-olds aren't ready to play in the NBA. So that's only going to make the NBA product somehow worse. And again, we all love to talk about the NBA and when playoff times, how great the NBA playoffs are. But in October, do we need more bad basketball? Do we need more guys that aren't ready to play at this level? I don't know. I actually would want it to go in reverse. It never will. They'll never say you have to play 2 years. That's never going to happen. I miss the days of guys, you know. I miss the days of J.J. Redick, Jay, when he'd play all 4 years. Come on. And his NBA career ain't bad. He's getting paid, at least.
And, Chris, are you among those laughing at Bob Kraft and telling jokes? Or do you somehow feel sorry for a billionaire who has to pay for sex at a massage parlor at age 77?
I don't feel bad for Robert Kraft. I feel bad for the people involved in the development of the story, which is that human trafficking is involved in this. And that's bad for Robert Kraft to be somehow tied up in this. Again, I'm not going to judge what somebody wants to do on their spare time, but when you get into the disgusting act and horrific act that human trafficking is, that's not good. And that's obvious. I don't need to say that. What is interesting is what this will play out now for the NFL. They just got through the Kaepernick case. You now have a commissioner who is going to try to probably pay Robert Kraft back for a lot of nonsense that went on between them. But also, do you want a guy being a face of a franchise that is the Super Bowl champions who is involved in going to massage parlors where human trafficking went on? That's not good for the league. It's going to be interesting. Remember, Adam Silver, who people have compared to what would be if Adam Silver was the NFL commissioner. Adam Silver got rid of an owner who was a disgusting human being. Now, Donald Sterling's 50-plus years of racial tendencies and horrific behavior, can that compare to one lewd act by Robert Kraft, something that makes us all kind of icky, but might not be up there with, at least in people's minds, with what Donald Sterling did? But it'll be interesting to see what develops here.
And, Chris, how do you like Sports Obama, the Obama-rama? Given the state of the nation, with an election coming in 21 months, should Obama be hanging out at games and talking about twerking when he could be spending this time helping the Democratic Party?
I think the Democratic Party's got a lot bigger issue, like how to beat Donald Trump before he gets reelected in this country. And I think Obama might just remind everybody, hey, Obama's great and we miss him, but he's not going to be president. You can bring him out there all you want. He's not going to be the guy who could take office in 2020. So I think they need to find new blood. And that might be the biggest challenge of the Democratic Party. Not that Obama is twerking or talking about twerking, Jay.
Thanks, Chris, which brings us to quickies, which are just that quick. The founders of the new offseason football league, the Alliance of American Football, are crying fake news after reports that the league needed a $250 million bailout just to make payroll. But nothing is fake about this. For whatever reason, the Alliance had trouble paying players their first week checks. Their founder says it was a computer glitch, really. And ratings have dipped dramatically since the league debuted to a 2.1 million audience the Saturday after the Super Bowl. Look, like its many minor league predecessors, the Alliance faces massive challenges, and while it helps to be on the NFL Network and TNT, America is now settling into its springtime sports calendar, NFL free agency, March Madness, and the gambling mania surrounding March Madness, then opening day, which is in Japan this season, then the Masters, and before you know it, the NFL draft, then spring college football, the NBA playoffs, the Stanley Cup playoffs, the other golfing majors, the tennis majors, and then everybody forgets about the Alliance. It sure makes sense to me, firing your coach after you have won back-to-back Grand Slam titles and attained the world's number one women's tennis ranking at age 21. But that's what Naomi Osaka did, and now she's blaming the media after losing early in the Dubai Championships. Naomi, you might want to send a sorry text to your coach with cute emojis. Make up with the guy. There does seem to be a correlation here. And it seems that God himself, Tony Romo, actually has done something wrong. Riding high in football broadcasting and in life, Romo Stradamus eagerly accepted a sponsor's exemption to the PGA Tour's AT&T Byron Nelson event in May. But in doing so, Romo took a spot from a pro golfer who might need the money and Tony doesn't, or a young amateur wanting to make a name for himself. Also to blame here, CBS, which is televising the event and is taking advantage of the big buzz of its popular futures predicting analyst by having him play in the tournament and hoping he makes the cut. What I'd like CBS to do here is to have Romo in the booth, not on the course, in the final round with Jim Nantz, predicting what will happen before every golf shot. That's what CBS should
do. And now a final Mariotti commentary too hot for ESPN, too smart for the internet, and too white male for Jemele Hill. Take it away, Jay.
I'm not sure what happened to Tristan Thompson, the basketball player, but Tristan Thompson, the Kardashian homewrecker, is topping all social media trending charts. Is it true that Tristan, caught cheating before on Khloe, cheated on her again by hooking up with the best friend of Kylie Jenner in the bedroom of his own house during a weekend party? I cannot believe I'm doing this. It's no coincidence that every male, famous or otherwise, who is linked to the Kardashians ultimately has a pitfall that gives credence to a curse. Ben Simmons, you are next. Sounds like a great Jordan Peele movie, right? Now, in the context of Thompson, maybe the egomaniacal Trevor Bauer deserves more credit than people are giving him. In a wide-ranging Sports Illustrated piece, Bauer makes his case as the bad boy of baseball, if not the asshole of sports, with more of his irreverent takes on life, including his rules for dating. But at least he's honest. One, don't develop feelings or he dumps you. Two, no social media posts while dating him. And three, he gets to sleep with other people. Deal with it. Bauer, who among other sins berated a female college student online when she said Houston's Alex Bregman was her favorite player, explained his roles in an interview with a Cleveland TV station after the SI interview.
Specifically on dating, those are my feelings. I feel like that's the most fair way to handle, like, meeting someone new. Like, hey, this is where I'm at. This is who I am. This is what you're getting. If you like it, great. And if not, then don't waste your time on me. Just go somewhere else. Like, I don't understand what's so bad about that. Like, to me, it would be way worse to not say that and then lead someone on for 4 or 5 months and then at the end tell them, oh, sorry, I'm not interested, and then hurt their feelings or emotions or whatever. Like, why would you do that? Like, I don't care. Like, this is what I am. This is where I'm at. If you like me, then fine. If you don't, then fine. But at least you know what you're getting. I feel like that's the most fair way to handle things. Why is that bad? How is that bad? I'm not insulting anybody. I'm just saying, like, hey, this is what I am. This is where I'm at. Because I'm focused on baseball, and that's what I want to do with my life right now. And then in 3 years or 5 years or 10 years or 50 years, and if it changes, then I'll tell people different things. Like, I can't understand why people are so upset about me just saying, this is where I'm at. Isn't that what people want? They want you to be honest with them. They want you to, like, it's just straight to the point. People don't like honesty. That's all it is.
Bauer says he excels at two things in life, throwing baseballs and pissing people off. Too bad he's becoming better known for the latter than the former. I've paid my dues. Time after That's our show. For our producer and editor, Chris, I am Jay, reminding you to never, ever let anybody mute you in life.